Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 1st of April, and I am recording at 9:44 p.m., and that is British summertime here in London. Okay, now, starting with stock markets on this somewhat interesting day. In the Asia-Pacific sector, Japan weaker, 0.9% across the main indices. It's still consolidating that quite overbought short-term condition that we had seen earlier. And opposite performance in China, though, very strong. Another gain by the Shanghai Composite, up 1.66. That's right on its highs, or very close to it. And the Hang Seng Index, up 0.75%. The Hang Seng China Enterprise Index, these are both out of Hong Kong, the HSI and the HSCEI, but the latter is up 1.55%. So this is an impressive performance overall. And if we take mainland China, that is up almost 18% on the year to date, and that is in U.S. dollar terms. Well, very strong. Now, elsewhere, Taiwan, South Korea, Australia, all a little lower. However, we reach India, and again, we've got some solid gains in here today. This reaffirms that bounce from the 200-day moving average is important. And the Sensex Index up 1.08%, and that is now up 4.2% on the year-to-date in U.S. dollars. And the India's Nifty Index, I think that's a Nifty, is that the Nifty 15? I'm not sure. But it's up 5.11%. It must be more than 50 companies, but it's another leading index. And good gains, really, this week. Okay, elsewhere, Thailand up 1.3%, good gain. Jakarta, which was the star of the upside yesterday, but gave up maybe 3/4 of those gains here today, a little less. And going on to the European, hold on just a second. Going on to the European indices, all in the plus column, but these are mostly modest gains here, although Euro Stoxx 50 up nearly 0.5%, and we had the UK index and also the CAC 40, that's France, both up over 0.5% in here today. Looks like the best gain in Europe is the Italian MIB index, which is up 4/5 of a percent. Now, Wall Street was soft. It was higher in the pre-market activity because of strength in other markets. Then it moved fairly quickly to the downside as Wall Street opened, and was down, I think, about 1% at one stage. Now, it clawed a lot of that back. It got back at least 60%, I think, on the Dow and the S&P, and regained more on some of the other indices, particularly the Russell 2000. Those are the smaller companies, less affected by the, or less adversely affected by dollar strength. But you know the headwinds here for the U.S. stock market. And they are, I think the most important one is clearly the U.S. dollar. And then that severe cold in the northeast part of the country in particular. Winter, that's helped to slow down the economy a little bit. And also the oil sector, particularly the oil shale sector, which had been just about the most dynamic growth sector for the US economy for several years. But that has seen profitability go down very sharply with the big drop in the oil price that we are currently seeing, although they're still producing a fair amount. I mean, the return on it is it's more than halved. So those are strong headwinds for the US. Estimates have been sharply lowered on the multinational companies. Some people are saying they're too low and that the and that a lot of those shares will look better as the year progresses or as further earnings reports come out. That's quite possible here, I think, because where the better managements are able to manage the currency situation, they may well improve on those estimates. But nevertheless, a lot of question marks, and all you have to do is go into the chart library, put up a 5-year weekly chart of the S&P 500 index, and note particularly from 2013, beginning of 2013, and it really looks like a steady ascent of a mountain there, and a nice sort of staircase upward trend. And not too fast, just good and orderly, in line with a rising 200-day moving average. And then you get up to the higher levels overall, where there were plenty of psychological roundophobia around round number figures, as I had discussed at the time. But I don't think that's more than a temporary problem. But when you look at the action, it's like a climber that's reached a higher altitude and can barely step forward. Now, when we look more closely, what's going on is that we're getting some sharp swings in a couple of days down, a couple of days up in this range. And the slowness, or what looks like that, or go back to my simile of talking about looks like a climber suffering from oxygen debt. The problem here is that we've got offsetting buying and selling pressure nearly up in this range. I would say the demand side is still slightly stronger because you do have an overall uptrend, and these indices are to the left of the rising 200-day moving averages. But it's slow progress overall, and I mentioned yesterday that a lot of institutional traders appear to be testing the strength of demand and also the strength of resistance up here. There's a lot of uncertainty overall. So this is a situation where if this isn't resolved fairly quickly to the upside, we could easily see a sharper downward reaction. It wouldn't take much to frighten the market into that. Would that be a disaster? No, not by any means. I don't think, but you could get the long overdue 10% plus a correction possibly. If I were a betting man, I would say the odds are 51% to 49% against that just at this time. But it's a closely balanced thing. That's the point I'm trying to make. You go back to these other markets. China is awesome, and India is picking up from the lower side of that range, even though I feel it's likely to be mostly a consolidating year overall for India. Such was its earlier gains, but people are talking about India being the leading economy, and towards the end of this year, some are saying that it'll be growing at 8% per annum. And you've got Narendra Modi, and they don't come better than that in terms of, I think, economic savvy at the top in a country. So that's interesting. The Asian region generally remains extremely interesting, and Japan's efforts, well, they're going to continue. And given the long deflationary saga that we had in Japan, we shouldn't be surprised that sentiment within the country hasn't turned on the proverbial what yen here. But that's not surprising. But the stock market performance still strongly favors the bulls, and this is an important bull market. So, and Europe, of course, benefiting from the QE that we are seeing. Now, resources a little better in here today, and particularly that CCI index, worth having a look at in the chart library. That's the continuous commodity index, because we had a small little upward dynamic in here, and it just supports my contention that we're in a trough region. Now, that forecast is really based on a belief that the dollar index is not going to extend its gains any further in the near term. I think in the lengthy medium term, or on a longer term basis, I would expect the dollar to be stronger. In other words, if you ask me where's the dollar going to be 10 years from now, I would say it'll be stronger against most currencies, because this is a secular recovery driven by a strong technology lead and virtual energy independence. But it was too fast, that move of 25%. I think since well, the middle of last year, that's too hot, and it's taking its toll in here overall. But if that dollar weakens a little further, that of course will lend additional support to the commodities. What did the dollar do today? Dollar index, at any rate, is a fraction lower. Actually, the dollar is a fraction lower across the boards, and we've got the yen up to 1.0762. Sterling, nothing going on here with the Australian currency, remains soft. Sterling up to slightly higher, 1.4823. Both the Chinese renminbi and the Indian rupee were steady here overall. And I've been saying, I think I'm the only person who is saying this, but at least I don't know of anybody else who is, but that the Fed had intervened, and that was a common sense decision if they did. I'm surprised that nobody else has mentioned it. Why? What would I know, sitting here in London, that other people don't know? Well, nothing other than the fact that I've been around a little longer than most people, and I've seen it happen plenty of times before. Not just with the Fed. Okay. But what commodity markets again maybe beginning to scent the same thing. Let's take the precious metals in here today. Palladium up $12.50 to 747 and change, nearly 748. And silver back up to $16.95. And gold bullion up $20 to 1204. And I missed platinum, which had very strong day today, and it's strong yesterday, and it's strong today, up to 1163. It's still cheaper than gold, and historically that's unusual to see a platinum trading at a discount to gold bullion. Now, what else in those commodities? Some good gains producing that small upward dynamic on the continuous commodity index. Soybeans, corn, and wheat, particularly wheat, stronger in here in here today, and it's getting more interesting as we're getting into the crop season, or the planting season, I should say. The oil market, WTI crude, up $2.02, and that's taken it up to 49.62. And we've got the Brent up $1.63 at 56.74. Now, what might be the cause of that? Well, the situation in the Middle East is, I think, mildly alarming. What you've got is that civil war, potentially. Well, it's more than potentially, but it's the Shias versus the Sunnis. They've hated each other for centuries, and that's religion for you. And although I apologize for that statement, which I hope I haven't offended anybody by saying that, but it can lead to these interminably long conflicts. And then you've got a lot of people in these command economies, which have been sort of bought off. Take Saudi Arabia, for example. And the oil price is way down. They're kind of getting the message there, and not just in Saudi Arabia. Other countries are feeling it even more, that their situation is not all that comfortable, and they're turning a little bit violent. So that's a concern. I think it's even a it will stay within the region almost certainly. This is possibly I think this is quite definitely worrying the oil market here a little bit, and understandably so. Anything else? The U.S. bonds, well, they go down lower because the Japanese and the Europeans like them. U.S. 10 years down to 1.8564. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.